Maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No, you're an angel witch. I never get tired of saying that. I never get tired of saying it. Hi, how are you, everybody? It's me, Dave, from before. Dez?
Dave?
What's happening?
Chris? Not much. How are you guys?
Oh, things with me are great. I can't... this has been my year, I have to say. I'm doing better. No, I'm doing all right. I thought the show was at 9:30. Somehow, I don't know how I did this. I think I had a stroke. I know I shouldn't make jokes like that. But somehow I had it in my head that the show is at 9:30, even though we do it at 9 every week. I think it's just I'm tired or something, and I just had it in. But I think it's because I have it in my head because guests come on at 9:30 normally, and that was
that
enough.
That can make sense.
For what's, I don't know. But Chris, what is that music on in the background?
That's some royalty-free Afrobeat music.
Why are you going royalty-free?
So we don't get the strip pulled.
As long as we talk over it, it's fine. That's the law.
All right. Do you want me to...
Just go swing for the... Play fucking Michael Jackson. I don't care. I don't care.
I saw
Bee Gees, the Eagles. Just swing for the fences.
Speaking of Michael Jackson, I saw this 4K rendering of his Smooth Criminal video. I don't know if you want to check it out. It's weird because that's the one where he's in the white suit and dancing in the underground club and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it the 4K treatment, and now it looks like a soap opera, just like horrible, low-grade quality video. And then we watched the original, and it had all kinds of cinematic magic. So you got to pay attention to what's going on out there.
Isn't there something like you have to reset your TV if you have that, like... Because I had that. I got a fancy new television for $200. No, I was surprised how cheap TVs are. I'd never bought a TV in my life until like a few months ago. I mean, I've had many TVs, but I never bought one. I don't know how I had TVs in the past, but somehow...
You do a lot of ads for Toshiba, so it makes sense.
I do all those Toshiba ads. But, I got a TV, and I was like, oh, everything looks like crap on it. And then you have to go in and hit some setting. Yeah, it makes everything look like your cousin shot it.
Daytime TV.
Oh, yeah, the soap opera shit. I hate that.
Oh, I hated it. It enrages me.
You'll watch like a Mission Impossible movie, and it looks like...
They're in the room.
Yeah, it's so weird. I hate that. I wonder if there's anyone out there that prefers that.
See what's there.
Excuse me real quick. I have... I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening. My landlord's asking if I'm renewing my lease.
Oh, and no.
I'm waiting for this text for forever because I'm worried that she's kicking me out because of my rock look.
She's got that winter season lined up.
It's going to be a hard sell.
What is?
Your apartment.
Oh, because of the stank.
The stank and the, the pandemic. Everyone's fleeing Manhattan right now.
Yeah.
I'm hearing this. Everyone's talking about, and there's that, someone wrote like some blog post or whatever, how New York is dead and it will never recover. And
that's a little ridiculous.
I call bullshit on that because if New York's not going to recover, then London is screwed. Tokyo is probably screwed. Every major hub, every city with a downtown business center is screwed. I mean, I say this as a guy who doesn't really know what he's talking about, but I looked at the photo of the guy who wrote the blog post, and based on his hair alone, I would argue that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Do you know the blog post that I'm talking about? London is far more spread out. This is true, but there, I still think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Chris, do you think New York is screwed? You're a lifelong New Yorker.
No, I think it's going to bounce back. I mean, it always does. People said that after 9/11, and, you know.
That was like a few weird weeks.
It's a few.
Basically.
I'm an optimist. No, but I mean, what if New York's not going to bounce back, then the planet is screwed, basically.
Yeah.
And if New York got... I did the Bennington show on Sirius the other day.
Oh, nice.
And Ron Bennington was saying that he thinks it's going to take, he said, not in his lifetime. He said it'll take 30 years to come back.
Maybe.
That's what he predicted.
Maybe 20. This whole generation of people has to cycle out. And then all these new kids that are like 5 years old right now need to move into the city and make it exciting when they didn't know any better. And so I can see what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I would be psyched if New York got knocked back 20 years. That would be the perfect time, probably about 2000, mm-hmm. before there was like a bank on every corner.
Those are good times.
Could be trending closer to the early 80s more than anything, from what I hear.
You think it's going to go back to the early 80s? I'm out. No.
As someone who just rewatched The King of Comedy, the Scorsese movie, where you see a very gritty 1982 New York City, I think we should go back to that.
Yeah.
I don't really leave my neighborhood, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. No, I care. I want it to be still safe, but maybe not. As Jamie on Air says, no more brunch places. Maybe less brunches. No free refills on mimosas.
That'd be great.
You know? The number, let's give the number out. The number is 347-474-0260. That's 374. No, it's 347. I think I have a head injury. 347-474-0260. That's 347-474-0260. Please call in. We want 7,000 calls. And the topic is, will New York or the planet come back? And I put a tip jar up again this week. This week we're going to raise money. I called an audible. For No Kid Hungry. It's right there in the name. They feed kids, and kids need food now more than ever because of all the craziness that's going on. So Venmo at the Dave Hill, PayPal, Dave at DaveHillOnline.com. It's a great organization. I've actually raised quite a bit of money for them in the last few months. And I would love to, everything we raise tonight, we'll donate in the name of this show and its listeners. So there. Get on it.
Be great.
And the number is 347-474-0260. We have incredible guests tonight. We have Frank Conniff and Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yes.
Also known as the Mads. They're doing a live stream show tomorrow night on the internet at 8 p.m. where they will give live commentary to The Tingler, which is a bad film, as I understand it. A film that's so bad, it's good. And we will ask them about this and other topics of great importance when they come on the show shortly. And there'll be five. It's talk about a sausage party.
Yeah.
If you like sausage parties, you've just hit a street called easy. Matt Arnold of Iowa asks, will CBGBs return? That's an interesting question. If we go back. What if... I don't know. The post office has to come back. everything has to come back. But I don't like all this chatter about how New York is not. I mean, what's everyone going to live in the woods in the suburbs?
It's pretty great out here, man. I got to say.
Yeah. I don't know. I've given it a lot of thought, and I don't think I could be in the woods all the time, or I would something horrible would happen. I think I need a bit of both. Or maybe I just need, I don't know. We'll see.
There's just some crazy loud thunder right now in New York City.
That's New York City saying it's back.
Yeah, right?
I am coming back to New York. Jennifer Gersbeck, no relation, says, come back to NYC. I'm coming back. Yeah, I don't know. I hope it doesn't go back to full... This is what I would like to see. Finance bros go away. The Sex in the City ification go away. Don't bring back the pee smell. The one thing that I would like to... that I've not been around for is drinking in the streets. I would like to bring that back.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Because you go meet a friend for dinner and you just have a drink on the way.
On the way.
Like when that's what you do in Germany. That's what you do in Japan.
I think we could stand to make Times Square a porn, like a hub for porn, like an actual porn hub.
Yeah, like where you go and be like, I want some porn.
Yeah.
For the very best.
It would have to be live shows at this point, though. Yeah. We got all the porn we need in our pockets. So if Times Square really wants to go for it, then it's not doing it unless it's live nude shows.
Yeah. With
more than strippers, I guess.
And that's where Chris comes in. I shouldn't talk like that. Not with Jennifer Gersbeck, no relation, tuning in. But Chris is going to get whipped around like a rag doll. Mm-hmm. In the rebirth of New York City. I was saying this to Ron Bennington and Gail Bennington. I was saying my favorite period of Times Square that I've been alive for was the period before they made everything like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And then do you remember when they got rid of all the porn and then put just these weird art installations and stuff in? And yeah. 42nd Street was like this kind of ghost town. I love that. I was into that.
That was right around the time I started riding the subway by myself.
That was cool.
I didn't get that far uptown at that point in my city explorations, but
get as far. Oh yeah, because you probably came into the downtown.
Yeah, I would just hit. Yeah, I'd be in the park and kind of. That would be about that. You know.
I remember
Village.
In college, my friend Tim and I would go to 48th Street where all the guitars were, and there would be guys like hustling to like what are you looking for? what do you need? We got guitars. I got a whole shipment of guitars. I'll give you a much better deal. Come over around this corner. They were gonna get you to get the money and then mug you or whatever. But we got it. It's the tip jar. We're raising money for No Kid Hungry. It's starting to happen. Send Venmo at the Dave Hill, PayPal Dave at Dave Hill Online. I swear all this money goes exactly to the places that we've been raising money for. David Marks, thank you much for a lovely donation. I don't know why I said thank you much. I should have said thank you very much. I guess you can say thank you much. Just not my way of speaking. Turd Farmer 101 writes, in 91, hookers would proposition me in my van as I sat in tunnel traffic back to Jersey. See,
true.
I mean, it breaks up the ride, you know?
My dad used to work in Long Island City, which, you know, now it's like very residential. Sorry, there's a cat walking, right?
Oh, my God. That was like a, if you would, that would have been a great TikTok video. Great TikTok video.
But Long Island City was notorious. Like, it still kind of is still, you know, a little scary at night if you walk down the wrong street. But I used,
oh my
to,
gosh, going I
used
crazy.
To, I used to ride to work with him.
So with your like, dad?
Well, he would drop me off on the subway, and then I go to school. But like, it'd be like 7 a.m. And there were still tons of prostitutes out on the street. And one time they were like, they saw us and they were like, I was like a 14-year-old kid, like sitting in the car with my dad, and they're like, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, did you blush, or did you and your dad acknowledge what was happening?
Yeah. And then I think the light turned green and we, you know, just kept going.
Here we go.
Man, oh man.
But man, that's what it was like growing up in New York City.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, want a date. That's what they would ask. Want a date?
Yeah. Yeah. I would love a date. I want to share my sexy Danzig, like a watercolor, I think, that was sent to me. I feel bad. I can't remember the artist's name, but Kevin McComb made this possible. So I'm going to get this framed.
It's awesome.
For my new house in New Jersey. No, just kidding. Not moving to New Jersey. Let me tell you what.
Don't knock it, man.
Nothing against New Jersey.
Sounds like it.
I just don't know if I were hypothetically to move to New Jersey. Where would I move?
There's any number of places a cosmopolitan fellow such as yourself could comfortably settle in here in Jersey and still have access to everything you need for your
New York City still popping into the city.
Not even Hoboken. Nike. We could do much. What would be the furthest you would be willing to travel by?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Journal Square.
Okay, yeah.
That's it.
Jersey City's about it. Yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot of chat in the, or a lot of prostitute talk. Everyone's talking about prostitutes and being hit up by prostitutes. I it's been some time since I've been hit up by a prostitute. I'd have to say.
Well, you've been where you've been since March. I wouldn't imagine there's action on the streets out there.
I can't even remember the last time I was hit up by a prostitute in New York. I think the last time I was hit up by a prostitute was in Cleveland at some point. Just
are you worried you're losing it? It's been a while.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I kind of am. I might be losing it. I don't know if I have that sass anymore. No, I'll probably have the sass for life. I don't know if that's what you need. I think you just need to be a guy, and then a prostitute will proposition you.
Yeah.
That's we'll see. I don't know. Hmm. When I was in high school, we used to like drive down the streets. What the question for Dave? What city? Where are the phone calls? 347-474-0260. Question for Dave: what city has the best prostitutes? Asking for a friend. Quiz guy 66 asked this. I don't think I know. I've never what's the word? Paid for sex.
I'm taken.
Been with a prostitute.
But you still see him out there.
Cherry Dazzle says prostitute talk is where I come in. Give us a call, Cherry Dazzle. We won't ask saucy questions, but it would be nice to hear from you. 347-474-0260. Oh, yeah, Turd Farmer 101. Now the whole show is about when was the last time Dave has been propositioned. And I guess it would be Amsterdam. That was it.
Yeah. I've been to Amsterdam.
You seem too excited about that.
Well, I went there with my wife, my girlfriend at the time.
Got a call if you want.
Let's take a call. That's the I'm a little loopy tonight.
It's Elvira in Minnesota. How are you?
Hey, Elvira.
Just got back from a long road trip with the family. Drove 2,700 miles.
2,700? What? Slow. Whoa. Where did you go?
I started in Minneapolis. And it was me, my wife, and my daughter, 5 years old. We headed out to, we spent the first night in a campground in Ohio.
Wait, I'm in Ohio. Where?
Yeah.
What campground?
In the middle of the state. The wife investigated to figure out which was the least COVID-y place for us to stay.
Oh, good luck.
Because we're on the way to stay with her parents, who have been keeping it, secluded. Sure. And just wanted to be there to support the family and get the wife out of town while things are kind of popping and banging around us still.
Popping and banging and, around. How so?
Well, I'm in Minneapolis, a few blocks from Lake Street, where we had buildings burnt down. They've now actually investigated and found out that most of the burnings were actually caused by this white supremacist guy claiming he was Antifa, so that's why our local bookstore burned. Yeah.
That's what they do.
That's what's been happening.
Yeah, and the entire city was just really on high. I got assaulted. It was.
Oh, wait, again? Since the last time?
Well, no. I've only been assaulted once. But that was another reason.
That was a story from a couple weeks ago. Yeah. You told us the story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
And then we stayed in, on the way back, we also stayed in Ohio, in a place near Logan. We had a bit of a scare because the daughter bounced off of a bed and hit her head and had amnesia. So had to rush her to a hospital in Columbus. That was very disconcerting because my wife would be explaining to her every 30 seconds what happened, and her not having any ability to remember things would ask the same questions again in a very distressed manner. So it was kind of like, a very bizarre, it was very much like the film Memento, but you actually cared about the characters.
Well, I'm sorry. How is your daughter doing now?
Well, she's doing great now. In fact, we went and did a COVID test today for her because she had more exposure. And she got the swab up the nose, and it was her eyes watering. She's like, this sucks.
How old is she?
And she's 5. And then, we calmed her down. I got my iPhone connected up to the car, and I'm like, what phone do you want right now? And she's like, I just want Through the Fire and the Flames. So I put on some Dragon Force, and we sing Through the Fire and the Flames, and by the time we were done, her pain was gone, and she was just rocking on.
Wait, your 5-year-old daughter likes Dragon Force? You really buried the lead. Can you pull up some
Dragon Force? Sure.
Yeah, for just to...
Is that going to cut our stream off, though?
No.
Well, and she's also really into...
maybe, it might.
Bass guitar right now. There's a YouTuber named Davey504, who's an Italian guy who's just really good at bass, and she is now all about the bass. And
love it.
We have a band together. She's the front man. I just do support. We're known as the former teenage heartthrob.
That's strong.
And we use it as a way of exploring music and also exploring life. So we don't just go on trips; we go on tour. We talk about music and how we can make it, and how it makes us feel. So we use it as a way of communicating. So it just works out real well. Form a band with your kids; the greatest thing you can do.
I love it.
Don't be a stage mom. But
no,
and I also
tell her nothing with me.
This is some
Dragon Force
book out today.
You have a new book out today. What is the book?
Part of an anthology called Acting Tan. And
Acting Tan?
If you go to yearbetween.com, you can find the links to it. What it is, a bunch of creators got together in May and said, hey, let's play a game where we make a world. And then in June, we created that world. Also the events that occurred within 1 year of it. And then we all went off and wrote our own story. So what I did was I wanted to kind of write an introduction to this village that exists in the ribcage of a giant fallen leviathan. And there's giant ants, there's gnomes, elves, orcs, hallucinogenic trees, and
it sounds like it has something for everybody.
Yeah, well, and it's got a lot of giant ants and erotica in it. It's technically an erotica book.
Used that information earlier.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, burying the lead, that's my thing. So what I did was I took Lake Wobegondes by Garrison Keillor, and I made the opening chapter, instead of being about the sleepy village in Minnesota, I wrote it as Garris, son of Keillor, who was introducing the village that lives within this giant ribcage.
I like it.
Obsessed with barbecue and death. So, but I'm really excited about it. And the nice thing is, it's just one of those kind of quick produce, quick to release. And I actually have help. I'm not the only person doing it. So it's been a fantastic experience.
Well, excellent. Where can people get it?
Oh, you.
What's that?
If you go to yearbetween.com, there's links there for a variety of formats. You
can get yearbetween.com. Excellent. Well, we're getting ready to bring our guests on momentarily, so I should run. Right. We're going to grab another quick call.
I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Elvira.
I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Elvira.
Good night, man.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Should we grab one more quick call and we should have I see Frank in the on deck circle.
Nice.
We're waiting on Trace. Do we have another call here?
Not yet. No, not at
all. Oh, I thought you had one.
No, that's the one limitation we have. Oh, here we go. Hold on.
You can only take one call at a time on Skype.
Once somebody's on the air.
It's technology.
Limitations.
What do we have to throw at this thing? Like $3 and we could get more than one call at a time?
We'll brainstorm.
Let's spend the extra money.
We'll figure it out.
Caller, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, here you go.
Hello. Who's calling?
Hi, it's Madam Luke. It's Kim out in California.
Oh, Madam Luke in the Bay Area.
Hey.
We kind of cheat by calling us the Bay Area, I think.
Why?
I mean, Santa Cruz, it's a different bay.
It's, you know, I'm from Cleveland. It's close enough.
It's still a bay.
Exactly. Bay.
What's happening?
Well, I'm calling to share something that I've been dying to share with someone who would appreciate it for the last hour and a half. And it's not on topic, but okay. I was listening to the traffic report on the radio while I was in my car, and there was a truck and a trailer rollover, which is not the funny part yet, but the trailer was loaded with, are you ready?
With crushed cars?
Like to the junkyard?
Crushed cars, yes. Wow. Like cubed crushed cars.
Oh,
rolled over on the freeway with these crushed cars everywhere, which made me so happy to picture. I got a little giddy over it.
Wait, why were you so happy? Because it was the cube.
Because it's hooked. Now the truck was righted, so the driver's okay. Everybody's okay. Because it seemed to me like a New Yorker. Cartoon, like caption this kind of thing, but in real life.
The crushed cars got in a car accident.
Big old demolition derby on the highway.
Yeah, like they show up to clean up the mess and they can't figure out, like, where do they, is it done already? Do they, Is it finished?
Yeah.
Where do they start?
He's putting in a claim.
So, I like it. I was
giddy over this, imagining this scenario.
You West Coasters.
Yeah, that's us. Maybe it's the heat. We're having a heat wave, so maybe I'm just...
That's the rumor. Did anything catch on fire yet? I hope not.
Yeah, we had a big lightning storm here the other night, and it did start a few fires, and they're trying to put them out right now. So... And I did not find that funny. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. Because you have to laugh now. It's one thing after another.
You have to. You have to. So Turd Farmer 101 says, I spotted Madam Luke one day at the Santa Cruz post office one day, just reading it verbatim. And they got scared and tongue-tied. They wanted to say hello. Anyway,
scared as
he's told me before that he's seen me around Santa Cruz, and I don't know who he is.
That's creepy, is my point.
It's a little weird because he has told me a couple times in these chats that he's spotted me around town. I have no idea who he is, and I think it's a little creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Good for pointing out, Dave.
Yeah.
We have our guests. We're going to bring our guests on, Madam Luke, but thank you.
Please do.
For that humorous anecdote. What? I'm being sincere.
I'll take my mockery off.
I'm not mocking anyone. As we have established, my brain is working even worse than normal tonight. And that's why it took me a second to understand. But now that I've processed it, I find it very humorous. So there.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted. All right. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Bye, guys.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks, Madam Luke.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors. And
nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor, and I'm a medical enthusiast, and we create Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week, I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately, we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
All right, Adam, Maximum Fun wants us to record like a promo to tell people that they should listen to The Greatest Generation. You want to do that?
No, I am tired of all the extra work. I just wanted to talk about Star Trek with my friend.
I think it would be good to like try and get some new listeners by appealing to the audiences of other shows. Like, this will only take a minute or two. It could be good for us.
We sit down for an hour every week and talk about a Star Trek episode and make a bunch of idiotic fart jokes about it. It's embarrassing. If it got out that we made this show, I think it would make us unemployable.
Adam, I have bad news for you. We have tens of thousands of listeners at MaximumFun.org.
Oh my god. I think I'm going to throw up.
The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
I'm really going to be sick.
Very quickly, I want to thank Virginia Craighead for a lovely donation to No Kid Hungry. And Kaya King, and Luis Nieves, and Brendan O'Dwyer. All very lovely donations. Once again, the virtual tip jar tonight is for No Kid Hungry, a great organization that feeds kids, as it says in the name. Venmo at the Dave Hill, PayPal Dave at DaveHillOnline.com. And then tomorrow we'll donate all the money to No Kid Hungry in the name of this show and its listeners. So they're a great organization, and we've been raising money for them for a few months now. All right, let's get into it. Let's bring our guests on. I'm just gonna, here he is, Frank Conniff and Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Science Theater 3000, the Mads. Oh, I didn't hit the button properly. Wait, what is happening?
Oh, you lost Trace.
There
he is. Hello?
I'm sorry. I thought I did this really. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for joining this slick operation.
It's great to be here. Thank you. I love that you use the phrase amusing anecdote because it's a very It's a very old school phrase. I think in the Reader's Digest, they used to say, do you have an amusing anecdote? Send it in. So I love older expressions like that.
Well, I like that. I like that expression because it's sort of like real ankle weights to the story. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The story better be, it has to be that even all that much better because you've already called it an amusing anecdote.
Right, right.
Puts a tremendous amount of pressure on, I think. Anyway, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm having problems. My cat has been in the hospital. She had a kidney stone removed surgically. Oh, no. And so she has a good prognosis. I think she's going to be okay, but she's been having a rough time of it, and I've been having a rough time of it because I miss her. She's been in the hospital for like a whole week. So that's what's going on with me.
Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. As a dog owner, I can relate.
Yeah, I've met your dog is awesome. I've met.
Yeah. She's a sweet. She's here. She's downstairs.
Took the apartment that you lived in that I went to do another podcast with you. That dog took up about half the space in that apartment.
Yeah, she's a sweet sweetie. And you're in New York right now, right, Frank?
Yes, upper East Side of Manhattan.
And where are you, Trace? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having us on the show. I'm in Minnesota. I'm on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. I live in the woods.
Beautiful. Don't tell us the city because the riffraff.
The riffraff's been here already. We've already had bikers harassing people.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Baraboo?
It's actually a town called Stillwater.
I like to just say Baraboo.
Baraboo is a great name. That's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You've been to all of these places.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of that region of the country. Good times.
A lot of cheese.
I forgot to give you guys a heads up that Trace actually has some chickens.
Oh. You can't hear him now because it's dark.
Because Dez has chickens. There was a very chicken-friendly episode of the show.
Oh, really?
The chicken kid early on, yeah.
How many do you have?
We have eight. They're 17 weeks old today, actually. So
they're not laying yet.
Not yet. No, we're starting to get ready. Turn the corner. Hopefully that comes sooner than later.
Yeah, it takes a while. We have 12.
Oh yeah,
I knew.
And that's the farm report.
Yeah,
I could feel that you were about to out chicken him. I could feel it.
I took out enough to win.
That's good.
Trace is also a beekeeper, by the way.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they died. They all died. Ooh. I bought a big box of bees, and climate change and my own ineptness, I killed them.
I'm sorry about that, by the way. But
that I'm inept, or sorry that it caused.
No, sorry about the death of the bees. But is when you buy many bees, what a hive?
You can buy a nook, which is a smaller box of bees. You can get them in the mail, which is kind of cool.
Live bees?
They will call you up immediately and say, come get your bees.
I would hope they would.
I've heard pigeons in the back room. You know, you go to get your P.O. box, you open it up, and it's open to the other side. There's all manner of weird things you can order by mail.
And so you got mail order bees?
I got mail order bees, yeah.
But is it the sort of thing like goldfish where there's an anticipation that they might be dead several hours after coming into your possession?
Anticipation, but sort of an enthusiasm. I mean, you get like 50,000 bees in a box, and
gosh,
averages, you're going to lose a few, you know. Mm. And they don't live that long, so it's really a terrible pet.
Well, yeah, don't get attached.
Yeah.
You got honey off of them though, didn't you?
I made them give me honey. I got it off. Like I went to the mob and I said, You got to help me with these bees. And yeah, we did. We got like 4 gallons of honey out of our dead beehives. So it's,
oh, like after they died?
Well, yeah, because they weren't going to come back, and we just took the honey for ourselves. Uh-huh. So we don't have to actually do bees again for another couple of years, because that's a lot of honey.
Set. That's a lot of honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like honey, but it's a lot.
That's a good, you're good for a while. Well, I'm sorry about the bees, and Frank, I hope your cat is.
Oh, thank you. I think she's coming home tomorrow. Is the hopeful word that I hear.
And speaking of, and this is where my segue skills come in. You guys, tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, the Mads are doing live commentary. The Mads are back. You're going to do the Tingler tomorrow night.
That's right. The Vincent Price epic.
Now, not to tell everyone how the sausage is made, but you've seen the movie before?
Oh, yes.
We've seen it about 30 times, maybe.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah, we've done it that many times live on the road. So we kind of feel it's time to... time to give back.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing the Mads now for 5 years live, and
yeah,
so it's time we've stepped into the future.
Yeah,
as you all are. Everyone's now online. We're all online.
I know.
All digital.
It's bizarre. I hope it's over soon. I mean,
yeah.
I know that's not a hot take on the situation.
I'm not. I agree. I know that's a very controversial thing you just said, but I hope it ends soon as well. I'm handling it okay, I guess, but I'm not. You know, it's a very dark, depressing thing, and I'm not one of those people who's making the best of it. I don't think. I think I'm just kind of wallowing in the sadness of it a lot of the time.
Me too. I think it's hard. Like I think I did have the first 2 months of it. I was really, it was like a much needed vacation. And then however long it's been since, I guess at least 3.5 months now, I've been oh boy.
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying this. Hard. Not enjoying the pandemic any longer.
No. So, no. Are you in New York, by the way?
No, I came out to a small town in Ohio in March for what I thought was going to be a few weeks, maybe 4 weeks at the longest. And then we got out here, and I think if we were back in New York, I did announce earlier in the show, my landlord texted me, and I am signing a new lease.
Oh, so good.
I'm returning. I will be back very soon to sign the lease. But, you know, we got out here and it was either sit around the apartment all day or sit in a house all day and the dog can go run around and go swim in the lake. Nice.
I get that.
So, but I, you know, it is weird. I packed 2 pairs of pants and a couple t-shirts.
all you needed, really.
That's the one thing I've learned from this is how little I have. So much crap. I mean, you haven't seen all my apartment, but I think what you've seen, you probably could gather that I have a lot of crap.
Very, very, a lot of stuff in that apartment. Absolutely. Yeah.
So now I'm learning. I don't really need that much stuff because I've been living with almost nothing for months now.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really affected me that much. But anyway, so no more pandemic. Hopefully we'll get rid of this sooner than later. But the amazing thing is what Chris was telling me, you did the first Mads are back a few weeks ago, and I would describe it as an explosive success.
It was by our standards. It was that we got a lot of people who tuned in, and thanks to Chris, it went off very well without too many technical glitches. We got all the technical glitches figured out before we did it, and so it went well, and people are really enjoying it, you know, because people, I think, they like having some good, reasonably priced entertainment that they can watch during the pandemic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of fits into that kind of thing perfectly.
We're $10. That's all we ask.
Yeah, yeah.
That's two packages of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. In 19.
aren't they $5 a pack? No, they're $10 a pack.
I don't know what they cost.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I haven't.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking of starting smoking just as a thing to do during the pandemic, but then
I think you should. They're, out of it. They're so expensive; it's like an elitism thing.
I know. I can feel like things are still good because I'm out hacking on the front steps. Oh my gosh! Yeah, $10. And Chris, is there a link you can put there in the chat?
Yeah.
Or even say out loud.
If you just go to Eventbrite and search for the Mads or the Tingler, it's like the first thing that pops up. But it's the madsareback.com is their website. Get tickets there.
You're not really. You know, we know you as a hype machine. It's a very soft sell.
I'm a little thrown off today. I literally came from another live stream to this live stream. Seconds to spare.
But we've been on for 50 minutes now. You think that you would be
that's a very 2020 kind of thing to be overwhelmed by the amount of live streams you've been doing and not having time for anything else.
Yeah.
It is
like
weird.
You hop on one phone call to the next. It's like you don't
get
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Zoom record is 6 hours straight.
Oh wow!
Oh man!
It was a lot, but I find that I dread the Zooms and things like that. Not this, but Zooming in particular. Mm-hmm. But then I do it, and I was like, oh, I feel a little more normal now that I've interacted on in some. Bizarre.
Yeah,
you know, as much as I'm like, oh, I got a fucking Zoom coming up, and then you do it, and you're like, oh, I feel a little better than I felt pre-Zoom.
Well, it's weird. In the pandemic, it's weird to have something going on, you know, mm-hmm. something, an appointment to do something, you know, because it's a lot of it is just one day blending into the next, and you're having no idea what time or what day it is.
Yeah, it's weird. I know, like, you're supposed to live in the moment and one day at a time and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just started doing that now only, but not in the positive way. Just if I think any past the immediate moment, I start freaking out. So,
yeah.
Like,
living in the moment is hard when the moment sucks, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's tricky. But there's good moments, like tomorrow. See, king of the segues tomorrow mm-hmm. night. You guys doing live commentary to the Tingler. What year is the Tingler from?
59. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's right at the dawn of the '60s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very it's actually compared to a lot of films we've done, it's a very well-made movie, and the cast is great. Vincent Price is great. Everyone else in it is really good, and it has a very goofy script, you know, with some real absurdities in it. Although when it came out at the time, if you were a kid and you saw it in the early 60s, like a lot of kids did, it was a very scary movie for a lot of kids, a really good horror film. So it's better than a lot of the films we've done, but like I said, it still has enough of that kind of crazy element to it that it makes it fun to do as a movie to riff on.
And it's about It's about a parasite that can that feeds off fear in people.
Yes.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
It grows from fear. Fear creates it, and then the only way to stop it from attacking people is to scream, and then it stops attacking. And at the time, the producer and director William Castle, who was known for gimmicks. He was a real showman, and he had all kinds of gimmicks in his movies. Like they'd have a nurse on call in case someone had a heart attack because they were so scared. He did that with other movies, but with this one, he had the seats wired so that when the tingler came on, you would feel a tingle. As it happened, John Waters was very influenced by that. He I think he had smell-o-vision
for polyester. Yeah.
Yeah, for polyester. William Castle. There's something really kind of wonderful about him. He was just this great spirit who just was really, really trying to entertain people in unique ways and get publicity in unique ways.
Mm-hmm. I love that having a nurse on call.
Yeah,
that's a good move.
I think I read he also had actresses like stand up, scream, faint, and then like be taken out on a stretcher into an ambulance, then the ambulance would drive around the block, and then
having a hard time hearing Chris.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
They would drive around the block, and then the next showing they would do the same exact thing.
Yeah, he was. And there's actually a movie about William Castle that's a good movie directed by Joe Dante called Matinee, starring John Goodman, playing a character based on William Castle. And that's a movie I'd recommend people watch if they're interested in that stuff.
What would you say is the quintessential bad film? Or do you have one in mind? Or what's the short list?
Well, we interpret bad differently because a bad film to us is our living. are you talking contemporary bad like Michael Bay or campy bad,
there's a lot of ways you can go bad.
Ed Wood, it's like wine. How bad do you want it? I want a little bad. Okay, well, this one's not so bad.
I think, for me, and this is just me being like, thinking things were better in the past, but I think, shitty movies were better back in the day. I think that, like, movies, the bad movies made in the 50s and 60s, and by that I mean, low-budget genre films, horror films, sci-fi films, that were really made for kind of a niche, marginal drive-in theater market, whereas now those kind of movies are the big mainstream films that are the big blockbusters that the studios are going for. But back in the 50s and 60s, those low-budget sci-fi and horror films, there's an innocence to them. There's something fun about them, and there's something earnest about them. And I much prefer that to the kind of modern, $100 million blockbuster Michael Bay kind of films. That there's, and I mean this sincerely, there's a soulfulness to older bad movies that isn't present in modern bad movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. What do you think about, by the way, very quickly, if anyone has any questions, they want to call in to our slick phone system, 347-474-0260. What I want to ask is what do you guys think about movies now that where they are made there's an effort to they where they try to make a, like a cult film?
Oh, that's
I'm not on board.
Not
with that.
Into that. Not yeah. And I don't like riffing them the way we do. I think the sincerity and the earnestness in the old films that I was just talking about is a very important element in making them appropriate to do commentary on and to add jokes to. Whereas when the movie, something like Sharknado or something like that, where they're already in on the joke and it's kind of built into it that this is campy and this is fun and this is schlocky. That's not nearly as enjoyable to me, and I'm not into any of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. So this is Wade Snook is reading my mind, because the one exception, though, it wouldn't be good for commentary, but it might be. Have you seen The Greasy Strangler?
I'm never not familiar with that.
Oh no,
Greasy Strangler
really paints a picture.
How could he ever get a hold of?
He does.
It's really good, I have to say. But it's, you know, like Elijah Wood produced it, so you know that they kind of knew what they were
getting
into.
A little self-conscious.
It's not like a Sharknado. I don't know how to quite. I thought you saw it, Chris Gersbeck.
No, I've heard you bring it up many times.
I've watched it twice during the pandemic.
I think it's possible for people to make a movie like that is self-consciously schlocky. But if it's done with style and with wit, you know, that can be an enjoyable thing. But my point is that they're just not. To add jokes on top of something that already kind of is knowing, it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think Greasy Strangler. I'd be curious.
Believe me, my curiosity is there. I want
to. Where on the dark web do we have to go to find it?
It's on Amazon Prime. Amazon. I know that.
Really.
But it's the reason, well, aside from the fact that I really enjoyed it and have seen it a few times now, is I resisted watching it because, I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those movies, you know, where they just try to make a shitty movie.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't want to see this movie. And then finally I watched it, and then I called the guy that was begging me to watch it. I was like, I'm sorry, I resisted this. it's really something. So that's my recommendation. But there's several people in the chat who are on board with it. So that's my.
Oh, good. I'm gonna check it out for sure.
Yeah, it came out maybe like 5 years ago. But then they made, I can't remember the director's name. They made another one. An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. Anyway, it's not as good, but I don't know why I'm going on about films no one's watched. That's why I'm number one in my time slot. So when you with Tomorrow, so this is one of your favorite bad films.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie to, you know, when we do a lot of. You know, when we do a movie like The Tingler, we riff it a lot of times. So it's much better to have a film that you kind of have affection for.
Yeah,
you go on the road with it. And this one, we definitely really like this film.
Uh-huh.
At Mystery Science Theater, we had no choice. You know, the whole premise of trapped in space, forced to watch movies, was really lived out in what we could select. But now, like Frank said, we have to choose this, like, the third guy on the comedy troupe. You know, it's the movie's the headliner, and we're the supporting act. And
right.
We have to be nice to it. We have to watch it buy things at a mall. But, you know, we have to be friends with it. And we genuinely love these movies that we do. The Tingler is just one of my absolute favorites. And Vincent Price, you can tell he's having a great time making this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he just loved everything about filmmaking and life. And it really comes through in this film.
And Vincent Price was a guy, you know, his movie career, you know, in the 40s, he was, you know, I think he was under contract at 20th Century Fox. And he did a lot of big prestige movies like Laura, you know, and a lot of other like non-horror movies. And then he kind of drifted into the horror movie genre, but you never see him looking down on any of it. He gives those movies the same dedication that he gave to the you know, to when he was working with Otto Preminger. You know, he's just a real professional and always yeah. really good.
He shows up for work.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen Witchfinder General?
No. I'm learning a lot about movies here that I haven't seen.
That's one of his movies.
Witchfinder.
Vincent Price.
What year?
Not familiar with that.
It is, I think it's from the 60s. He plays like a real person from
1968.
Yeah, he roots out. Chris, do you have it in front of you?
I do, yeah.
He basically roots out witches. It's right there in the title. He finds witches.
It's sort of the spoiler.
It's right there in the title.
Yeah.
Oh, but, it was heavily censored in the UK, it looks like. You know, they're very strict about violence over there.
They are. They didn't show Clockwork Orange in England for like 30 years.
Yeah, something like 2004 yeah. or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It was banned in England for a long time. And then England is where it was made, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But now they just let fly with everything, right?
Probably. I'm guessing.
I think they're still weird about certain forms of violence. Like, they'll edit out, like, a headbutt from a movie starring Dwayne Johnson.
Really?
Yeah. It's bizarre. But nudity and the swearing. Yeah.
Soccer hooligans.
I know. That's, because the headbutt, some of them just try that right in line for popcorn or whatever. I don't know.
Isn't it called the Glasgow Kiss?
Oh, that's the Glasgow smile, right? Where they like cut
your.
I thought the headbutt was.
Maybe let's see. Now that's probably two different things.
Either way, I'm avoiding Glasgow. Say that right here.
I was afraid of because of these things that we're talking about. The you can see there's photos of people that have it. They like cut your face.
Yeah,
up like the cheeks. Joker. Yeah, like the Joker. And everything I'd heard about Glasgow, same thing. I was like, I don't want to go there. It's not good. It just made it to be like terrible things would happen to you.
I'm sure it's a lovely place.
It's one of my favorite cities in the world, honestly. It's a little overcast, but other than that.
It's part of its charm, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I like a little. For someone that doesn't tan well, I support it. So tomorrow, though we're doing these online, like Chris told me, there was roughly 7 million people at the last. No, but yes. It's fun.
By our modest standards, we did well. Exactly.
But I mean, knowing that you could just do this from your apartment, will you ever go on the road again?
Absolutely. I mean, I miss it, and I'd rather do it on the road. Mm-hmm. But I think that if this pandemic ends, as you very bravely said earlier, that you hope it ends.
I'm not afraid to say I hope it ends.
I think what we'll end up doing is probably a combination of both. We'll probably end up doing both, I think, is keep doing the online shows and then hopefully get back to doing them live.
Yeah, it helps to have done these live because now we have no feedback. And, you know, dead air, and you go, oh, geez, just fill time. And if we can get back on the road and test out new films, then we know that they'll work without getting the laugh back. But that's the most annoying thing that I find. If we can find a way to get the audience audio back to us, is that even possible, Chris?
Not without it being a disaster.
Okay, yeah, good. Let's not do that. Then it's a terrible idea.
Someone's dog starts barking, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we're going to have to go on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, doing it online, I have to say I've been very emboldened, knowing that there's not going to be any laughs anyway, to just do all of my dated, obscure references, you know.
You guys, you're also a little... I feel like the live streams, you guys are being a little more hard PG-13 as opposed to like PG.
The triple X that we do.
Although when we're live, we're pretty... Well, I won't speak for Trace, I can be pretty filthy live, you know, occasionally. Yeah. But
I have a Catholic priest in the room with me while I'm performing, just so I have some feedback, and I have to be sensitive to him.
Right, right.
Fucker.
That's sort of like, yeah, you could have different different things every night. Tonight, Trace will have a Catholic priest.
Well, just have a camera on him. He sits quietly.
Yeah, that is, well, someone, the Nowhere Comedy Club, someone, Matt Arnold in the comments is saying, yeah, they have it somehow where you can hear people, but not in a way that's like too loud. I don't know.
Yeah, I did one stand-up virtual online show, and I don't think there was a big audience, which made it seem very familiar to me, to my live show. But I did. It was for QED and in Queens, and I was able to hear Cambry Cruz laugh, who she's the person who runs QED. Yeah. And just hearing her laugh was very helpful. Just mm-hmm. that one person laughing, it helped me a lot doing stand-up, believe me.
Yeah, it's a nice, it helps with the pacing. But then
yeah,
you also get like someone will be like, I think I didn't get it either. I think what he meant was, are you going in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of that.
I'm sure.
Did you hear any of that during your show, Dave?
Me?
Nowhere?
I did hear one, because at the end I played guitar, and I used this looping pedal, and then there was a couple people having a back and forth talking about the pedal, but like, and so finally I had to be like, you're right, I am using a pedal that loops like I said, if it, just so they would stop debating over what was happening, because I could hear it. But that was really the only thing, but it was nice they were taking an interest in the pedal.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I want from an audience.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking an interest.
Yeah. That's as good as an amusing anecdote. Thank you. Good night. Thank you for taking an interest.
I'd like to hear that after sex.
Thank you for your focus. Thank you for your time and focus.
Yes. Anything else?
It's only a matter of time before people start offering like laughing services for these shows.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like, pay me $30. I'll sit in a very quiet environment and laugh when it's appropriate.
I'll come and I'll laugh like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear in the movie theater.
I think there were people who have done that, like when they were on The Tonight Show, like they would have mm-hmm. someone in the studio audience who was a good laugher, you know, so they would get some laughs for sure.
Oh, like some, like a ringer. So when,
yeah,
when
ring, they I remember this was like decades ago, so my memory is vague. I remember a woman being interviewed somewhere who had like a great laugh, and I think she was a comedian too, but she said that, and I don't know if she did it for money, but she said other comedians would ask her to come into the Tonight Show audience, so that because she was such a good laugher. That makes sense.
That is good. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds like, it's too bad we've already put it out, and someone's going to get on this.
Yeah.
The paid the laughter service. Right. It's like the Chinese funerals. You can hire mourners.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
Really?
I've seen it in person in New York. They hire people to be really distraught.
Oh, like, you know, Larry David did a plot line like that, I think, in the last season, where a woman was a paid mourner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that totally is a thing.
Yeah,
get those audiences mixed up though.
Yeah, my audiences mourn very spontaneously. You don't have to hire them to.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till you are doing your own paid Zoom show And I'm going to hire people to just cry, just sob. Oh, man. Just sob throughout. And how often are you guys going to do these live stream shows?
So far, once a month.
Once a month, yeah.
As long as there's interest, we'll keep doing them.
Yep. Nice. Hoping to get picked up for the back nine. And
the back nine of the pandemic?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The sequel.
I hope there's not nine. Well, who knows? In my medical opinion.
When does school start? A couple weeks?
I think it's already been canceled.
Really?
Some states, yeah.
Places, yeah.
University of North Carolina just canceled it.
Oh, that's good, because I think in New York they're going forward with it.
They're going full force, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be back. It'll last a couple of days, in my medical opinion. But I don't, what do I know? I'm just some guy in a small town in Ohio. I'm just some guy living the life of a 12-year-old in a small town in Ohio.
Sounds good to me.
Until I get back to New York soon.
Boy, that's bad witness protection. You know, it's like, the only slot we have is a 12-year-old boy. Do you think you can pull that off?
I came here, they gave me a BMX bike and told me to have at it.
Hey, fellow kids.
I do. I just ride around town. That's pretty much my whole afternoon. Ride around, give people the finger. It's my day.
Someone asked in the chat for you guys, Frank and Trace, do you find that earnestness in other sorts of film, like YouTube video series or anything like that?
Oh, I don't know. That's like a whole other category. I mean, you know, YouTube series, I'm so not familiar with. I don't really follow that kind of thing too closely. When I was doing the John Fugelsang's Sirius XM radio show, I filled in for him, and he would always like announce like celebrity birthdays, and so I was like, well, I'm gonna do that too. And so I would go to a site that said celebrity birthday, whose birthday is it today, and most of them were always YouTube stars that I had never heard of. I had no idea who they were, and it was their birthday. So I don't really keep up with all that YouTube stuff.
I also feel like if you're making fun of someone's private YouTube page,
yeah,
it's a little,
yeah,
you know, yeah, it's punching
it's
down
a little dick, a little dickish.
The only series on YouTube I watch is the Primitive Technology, where the guy in shorts in the woods makes a swimming pool and or underground house. I don't know if you've seen those, but
no, they're
insane. Primitive Technology. Just look that up. It's a rabbit hole you will enjoy.
So it's like, it's sort of survivalist type stuff, or
it doesn't appear that they need this stuff. Like, who needs a pool underground? Like, they dig this with like a piece of wood and a rock. It's
so it's top to bottom. Primitive.
Yeah, yeah. The guy's got a stick and he's digging a hole, but he's like a mammoth swimming pool that this guy builds, or an irrigation system, or a hut. It's fascinating.
That might come in handy if like if someone from the mob is about to kill you and they make you dig your own grave. Like, you can make your life longer that way by just using a stick.
Just embellish it.
Oh yeah.
Too. The grave didn't need a pool, but I put a pool.
Wait, a pool? I mean, I guess I'll go watch it. What, it's primitive? What?
Primitive technology. There's primitive a few technology. Of them in that. Genre.
So is the pool lined or is it just muddy water?
No, he makes his own cement. He carries like sand and things from a creek, and he makes his own cement because he makes his own ash, and but there's a guy filming him. I mean, it's awesome. It's the cinematography is beautiful, but it's like, Jesus Christ, get a shitty camera and give the guy a shovel or a saw.
Yeah, the filming should match the his. It should be equal.
It should be like written on a
Super 8.
wood.
And in the same way that I've never heard of YouTube stars, he's never heard of hardware stores.
Yes, exactly.
Someone's got to tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just gently go, you know, the stick is cool. But look at this.
RV videos, Matt Arnold said. So my parents just got an RV, and now my mom is like obsessed with these RV channels where it's just people touring their like pimped out.
Do they camper. Do they have like a yard where they can keep it or a driveway?
They have a driveway, yeah. But they started going camping a lot because of the pandemic, so they're using it a lot now.
It's a way to do it.
Yeah. I'm kind of obsessed with RVs. I've never owned one. I've barely ever been in them, but I'm fascinated by them. And I keep telling Trace, one of these days I'm going to buy like a tiny house that has wheels on it, and I'm going to put it on his property.
Yeah.
There is a great RV video on YouTube. Ernest Borgnine takes you on a tour of his land yacht, his giant camper bus, but it's Ernest Borgnine.
Sounds great.
It's well, Ernest Borgnine. I mean, that you put that ingredient in.
RV. I mean,
half the work
Ernest
is
Borgnine.
I just searched Ernest Borgnine RV, and there's a ton of videos that pop up.
It's a whole genre of Ernest Borgnine. We know that he was in the Navy, you know, Mikhail's Navy, but we don't know about his land work.
Now you know all my day is consumed with Ernest Borgnine videos and primitive technology.
The perfect day. Those RVs are expensive, though. I was looking. They're not like what are the romanticized ones,
Airstreams are considered cool and retro, yeah. and cool people tend to get Airstream trailers.
Yeah, I was looking, a friend mentioned those, so I was like, I'm gonna see what's going on with those, because he mentioned he bought a 1969 Airstream. So I was like, oh, that's, what's that, like $40? It's like $1 million.
Yeah.
I don't know,
yeah.
But it was a lot of, they're all expensive.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have Ernest Borgnine money to get into that.
Yeah, you got
to
get that Borgnine cash going. Once you got that Borgnine. But Ernest Borgnine, he didn't live in RV, did he?
No, he just traveled around, he and his wife. And you can
Tova, right?
Yeah, Tova Borgnine.
Mm-hmm. You know Ernest Borgnine's wife?
I do. His wife Tova was like, had some kind of line of products, didn't she, Trace?
Something like that. She had her own fortune. So yeah. It wasn't just Mikhail's Navy cash. That's how they could afford that RV.
That's how you do it.
He tried to run over Ethel Merman with an RV once, and that was the end of their marriage. Did you know that he was married to Ethel Merman at one point?
No way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, someone referenced this. Game of Depth. He got divorced because he Dutch-ive-ed his... I think that's a type predictive text thing or something.
Dutch oven?
Dutch...
Well, that I don't know anything about.
Oh, Dutch ovened. He Dutch ovened his wife, Ethel. What? Well, I mean... You know, I think in any marriage, it's gonna happen.
I've never been
married, but I can only assume.
But a Borgnine Dutch oven—that is like the top of the Dutch oven heat temperatures.
Yeah, that's a Borgnine.
You said Ernest Borgnine, Ethel Merman. The next thing that comes up is Dutch oven.
Really?
No. Wow. Wow, that I didn't know.
I guess there would be no way to have this posed to me. But if someone, I just never thought I would hear the phrase Borgnine Dutch oven in my lifetime.
Me neither.
It would be impossible to think about it and think that you would never, but yeah, I never,
according
I would have
to,
thought I would go to my death never.
According to this article, okay, it just says it's probably also a good time to remind everyone that Borgnine's 32-day marriage to Ethel Merman in 1964 ended after he farted in bed and held her head under the covers, a technique commonly known as the Dutch oven.
Wait, but you have to put this link in the chat. You can't just say these
and
things.
Also, like why do we know about this? Was he on Merv Griffin, and Merv said, "Ooh, Ernest, how come you and Ethel broke up?" Well, you know, one time I farted and I stuck her head under the covers, and you know, she didn't like that.
You will be great.
It wouldn't surprise me if he did, though, because he was sometime in the last years of his life, he was on like The View or something. And he said on the air that they're like, "What is your secret to long life?" And he said, "I masturbate a lot."
He did and say it was, that. I remember like, that.
So, I mean, that's a guy that might bring up a Dutch oven.
Yeah.
And pretty much any company.
Yeah. He was very comfortable in his own skin. He no secrets with Ernest Borgnine.
That's, you know, all of his closest friends. That's what they did.
And then he just traveled the earth in the RV like Kane and Kung Fu. Meeting people, Dutch ovening occasionally.
Game of Death just said, "I want to open a restaurant called Borgnine's Dutch Oven." It's actually a really... I would, you know, in the spirit of the other, just my excitement about the other side of this pandemic, who will match me? I'll put $5,000 towards that.
I think Borgnine's Dutch Oven restaurant is very appropriate for the pandemic because it's a place where people will only eat outside for sure.
Dan Wally says lots of stews in reference to Ernest Borgnine's Dutch Oven. Disturbing.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay, here it is. Chris has posted the link. Wow. So that's
verified.
That's confirmed. Verified.
I'm glad that there's at least one truth we can hang on to.
I don't know who I side with in this either. Like, on the one hand, I say, shame on you, Ernest Borgnine. Yeah. But on the other, I think Ethel Merman, come on.
I take a joke.
You know what? Have some, yeah, maybe, you know, relationships are hard. There's give and take. So,
so that, I mean, maybe that was just a power move just to, maybe he was just like, this is just, you know, this is just a taste of what's coming. That's month one.
Yeah.
I would think that strikes me as year five behavior in a relationship.
Yeah, how long were they married, did you say?
32 days.
32 days.
32 magical days.
Yeah.
That happened. She's like, all right, I'm out.
Well, and then you go, you think, on what day of those 32 days did the Dutch oven take place? And what transpired? Like, when, you know, it's like, you know what? I was thinking back to 16 days ago when you did the Dutch oven. And you know what? I'm out. I'm out of here.
I've given it some thought.
Like, yeah, how do you mark it? Is it marriage over when they say it's over or when it's legally over? So, I don't know. These are with both of them gone,
yeah,
we may be left to wonder. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, this is Borgnine's Dutch Oven. Honestly, never, ever, ever. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'd like to get everyone's sizes, and I'm going to get softball jerseys made up for our team, Borgnine's Dutch Oven. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, guys. You deserve better than...
Hey, we're the ones who brought them up.
And it's true. Yeah. I mean,
it's true.
According to the internet, and the internet never lies.
This is also true. We have just a couple minutes left. So let's remind everyone, not that you need our help, but tomorrow night, the Mads are back doing commentary on The Tingler. Go to Eventbrite.
Actually, we're doing Ernest Borgnine in The Dirty Dozen. No, it's still The Tingler.
Still The Tingler. Bonus content.
I put the link in the chat there this time.
The link is there in the chat. It's official.
And it's 8 o'clock tomorrow night. It's $10.
That's Eastern time, right?
Yeah, yes, Eastern time. Come early if you want. And Chris, they should probably, if you don't have Zoom, like you should probably download that app, right?
Yeah. Well, we haven't announced that yet, but yeah, we I think we have to switch formats based on something that happened earlier. So
right.
But yeah, we'll have all that info available to ticket buyers well before the show.
And someone's offering to print up the Borgnine's Dutch oven shirts already. I don't know if that's a joke. I choose to believe that's not a joke.
So you can have them available in an hour.
Sincere.
Go to the Dave Hill merchandise store for your Borgnine Dutch oven t-shirts.
And I want to thank a few more people quickly. I want to thank Justin Smith, Ron Bailey, and Jamie Matzo for your generous donations to No Kid Hungry. If anyone wants to send money to the tip jar, we'll donate all the money to No Kid Hungry tomorrow in the name of this show and its listeners. And we've collected a nice amount tonight, and it'll feed kids. So awesome. I know Chris is against that. And he's fought me on. But I stand by it. I think it's a good thing to do, and I'm glad we did it.
I didn't say I was against it. I just wanted to verify that it was a legitimate organization.
It's not how you. Not what I heard.
Not for it.
Also, but any kids who watched us tonight don't have an appetite anyway. So.
See, yeah, it works both ways. It works both ways. Well, thank you guys again. Thank you so much, Frank and Trace,
for taking the time to chat with us.
Everybody. And we're looking forward to tomorrow night. And thank you, Chris, and thank you, Dez. And thanks to everyone for watching, listening, and anyone listening later this week or whenever you get around to listening. And we'll see you next week we can't beat Borgnine's Dutch oven, but we'll try. That's all I can say.
Okay, right. Take care.
I'm going to hit the end broadcast. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.